Hi, I'm Colleen.
I'm Hallie.
I'm Kate.
I'm Shannon.
We're your hosts for this episode of Women's Rights.
This season, we're exploring the story of women's ordination in Orthodox Judaism, the Roman Catholic Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and the African Methodist Episcopal Church. To do so, we've interviewed women in each of these traditions, talking about women's ordination activism and the experience of being ordained. In this episode, we're going to look at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, LDS. We've interviewed Reverend Holly Huff, who you will hear from today, about her experience in the LDS Church and after. Women's ordination has yet to be realized within the LDS Church. When Mormon men turn 12, they are welcomed into the priesthood, while women of all ages are excluded. Acceptable modes of participation in the LDS Church are strictly based on the gender of the church member. Men are given the priesthood and may ascend to administrative roles in their local wards or congregations, like the role of bishop. Women are given motherhood and lower-level roles in their wards, like Sunday school teacher. They also hold roles in the Relief Society, the church-wide women's group. However, this group has lost considerable autonomy and power since its heyday in the late 19th century. Despite the church's uncompromising adherence to these gender roles, there is a decades-long history of women questioning the status quo through scholarship, online forums, and activism. Unfortunately, the LDS Church has most frequently responded to women asking for ordination by silencing them through excommunication or other means. Because the church is so hostile to the idea of women's ordination, female leadership within the church is rare and narrowly defined. Reverend Holly Huff grew up in the LDS Church and was an active member of Ordained Women, an LDS feminist group. Ultimately, she left the LDS Church and was ordained in the Episcopal Church. Currently, she serves as a priest at the Cathedral Church of St. Mark in Salt Lake City. Here, she describes her earliest experience with female religious authority in the LDS Church.
I didn't have a ton of models of explicit authority, female religious authority growing up. So many kinds of kind of soft power. A lot of women I looked up to as role models. And yet they were never quite completely institutionally sanctioned. So that was kind of baked into my understanding of female religious authority, that it kind of always had to be backed or guaranteed by another male religious authority, that women's authority, at least the church, didn't stand on its own. The Relief Society sisters were people I really looked up to, particularly in the forms of community service and just community care that women often took on in that setting. So a lot of relational authority there. My mother was very sick when I was a young child, and the Relief Society sisters sort of really stepped up and showed up in that gap, in that crisis time in my family. A number of women from church were in my home frequently, a few times a week, for maybe a year, doing some basic kind of housekeeping and childcare tasks. There's a very real way in which they helped raise me, in this kind of short but very formative, difficult time.
The kind of soft power that Reverend Holly saw in her youth through the Relief Society is typical of female authority in the church. Often these women are unpaid volunteers without institutional power. However, there are some examples of institutionalized female authority that Reverend Holly was able to observe.
The general auxiliary leaders of the church. And mainly I would see them on TV when we watched conference twice a year. And I never really connected with them. They weren't people that I felt I could take as role models. Or felt like I might want to be like them in some way. They seem very distant and a little bit, I mean, I don't doubt their good intentions or sincerity, right? But at times it seemed performed or plastic in a way where I just felt like, are these real people? But the people I, saw in, like scrubbing the floor in my house, like that, I knew that they were real people and that their generosity and faith was sincere.
Female authority in the church is rare, and even when given a larger stage, it can often feel disconnected from the real lives of church members. To find a path to ordination, women must look beyond what the LDS Church directly presents them and forge their own paths.
For Reverend Holly, her years at Brigham Young University were a critical time of self-discovery and faith questioning.
College was a real time of exploration and growth in my faith, including sort of the developmental crisis of faith, I think. It was so necessary and ultimately helpful. I attended Brigham Young University, owned and run by the LDS Church, and that was actually a really great place to have a lot of questions about feminism and church authority and church history and treatment of minorities within the church, or questions about the place of queer people in the church. There were a lot of people in the same boat. And so I quickly found a community of people who were engaging with the same sorts of issues and feeling this kind of moral, faithful pull to look at these questions of justice and inclusion, really. And so I was through my friendships there. I did the women's studies minor and got involved in this kind of broader Mormon feminist community there. And so when Ordained Women was formed, I was sort of already in the community that was pushing toward that.
Ordained Women, founded by Kate Kelly, a Mormon feminist and human rights lawyer, works to create a space for Mormons to articulate issues of gender inequality that they may be hesitant to raise alone. Their mission is to put themselves in the public eye and call attention to the need for the ordination of Mormon women to the priesthood. For members of the LDS Church, ordination to the priesthood looks a little different than it does for most other Christian religions. At the local level, LDS is a lay church, meaning that all positions at the ward or congregational level or stake level, sort of like a diocese, are filled by lay people who essentially volunteer. Only at higher organizational levels do people receive compensation for their work. At age 12, every male church member becomes eligible for ordination, giving men rights to priesthood positions and a level of biblical authority within the church. Ordained Women sees the exclusion of women from the priesthood as inconsistent with their vision of what it means to be a Mormon. They started a website featuring a testimonial series entitled I Am a Mormon and I Think Women Should Be Ordained, which mimicked an official LDS testimonial series. They also staged a series of direct action events to bring attention to their cause. LDS leadership took serious issue with these actions and placed the founder of Ordained Women, Kate Kelly, under probation, directing her to take down the website. She refused. In 2014, Kelly was tried and excommunicated for apostasy. This action was a clear denouncement of her and of the broader Mormon feminist community. Reverend Holly was on a mission at the time and felt the impact of this decision deeply.
That was a difficult time for me, is the headline. So I was involved in all of this feminist activism in the Mormon church before my mission, and I did feel called to go on a mission. And I think that was kind of my first kind of baby step of exploring my vocation. In my context, in a lay tradition, where only men were ever ordained, and yet everyone was volunteer, no one could pursue the priesthood as potentially a career path, I think being a missionary was the closest thing to what I was feeling drawn toward. So I was in Ventura, California, in teaching people in English and Spanish. And in some ways, I really flourished there. I loved the people I was teaching. I really grew in my own sense of my faith. I was very admiring of especially Catholic devotion I encountered. I wasn't convinced that everyone I met needed to be Mormon, which was sort of conflict with the program. And I felt very confined. I started to feel very worried about being found out. That I would be seen as a heretic, right, for being a feminist or an ally or a queer person myself, which I came out afterwards, so it's somewhat blurry at the time, or just being a thoughtful person who had more questions than answers. Really, I was worried that I would be caught and that it would not be okay, and so I felt a lot of constraint, like I couldn't speak freely. And it was very difficult emotionally. And when Kate was put on trial, as it were, my friends at home were writing to me about this and sending me email updates. And so I was hearing about the excommunication proceedings, but I didn't have anyone I could talk about any of this with in person. So that contrast between the news I was hearing from home and the kind of day-to-day missionary life that's so regimented and rule-bound was really painful. I felt pretty torn apart in all of it. I felt very isolated, again, afraid of being found out, so angry, so hurt, ashamed, like I had to hide. And I think what I felt and what a lot of us felt is that it wasn't just Kate Kelly who was on trial. It was everyone who participated in the movement. It felt like, oh, this is they, she's the figurehead, but this is actually proceeding to say whether it's okay for people like me to be in this church. Mm-hmm. And so it felt very personally directed.
Reverend Holly and many other Mormon feminists felt betrayed by their faith with the excommunication of Kate Kelly. The LDS Church had proven that they were not interested in change. This ultimately led Reverend Holly to leave the LDS Church.
The resistance to even looking at that or engaging the question, being open to change, was really off-putting. And also the institutional emphasis on obedience became a real kind of, linchpin of my decision to leave.
Feeling a disconnect from the LDS Church, Reverend Holly decided to make the move to an Episcopal denomination.
It's a beautiful marriage of the best of Orthodox Christian theology and tradition and ritual with a very modern, expansive, wide open understanding of the love of God for everyone, as we see in Jesus. And so that kind of joining of a tradition that kind of preserves and passes on ancient Christian wisdom, yet in this very inclusive, broad, open-minded sense, was very appealing.
The Episcopal Church became a safe place for Reverend Holly. After settling into her new denomination, she was able to expand her faith into uncharted territory, priesthood. Here, Reverend Holly describes the process of understanding her call to ordained ministry and why it was a problematic thought during her time in the LDS Church.
I think the framing in the LDS institution of all volunteer, all lay people, clergy, and only men being ordained to the priesthood within that made it really hard to even ask the question, am I called to the priesthood? It was sort of unthinkable. And by the time I could, over a process of years, by the time I could think the question, it was clear that the answer was yes. But getting to the place where I could think that question took some time.
As a young adult, Reverend Holly was still tiptoeing around the idea of becoming a priest. The idea was so foreign after being raised in the LDS Church with few concrete examples of female authority and no model of ordained women.
I was very interested in religion academically, and I knew I wanted to continue after my undergrad studying religion somehow in graduate school. And so I ended up applying for divinity school, and I'm not sure that I fully understood what that was. I remember telling my choir director at my church at the time, I wouldn't be singing the choir the next year because I was leaving to go to divinity school. And he said, oh, are you going to become a priest? And I truly didn't understand how that question followed.
Eventually, all of these pieces came together.
It was kind of the beginning of being able to look at it more consciously on the surface of, is this something I'm called toward? Is this what God wants for my life? Is this something that makes sense with my gifts and abilities and desire? And very quickly, being able to ask that question and seeing like, oh, of course, this makes sense.
Surprisingly, Reverend Holly wasn't met with much criticism about her ordination. Her friends and family were broadly supportive of her new endeavors, but her parents have had to make peace with her decision to leave the LDS Church.
They're both still very involved. I think they've done that with a lot of grace. I'm grateful that they wanted to come to my ordination, were happy to be there. A number of my extended family who are also very Mormon showed up a little bit kind of bemused and confused, but you know, we're here. You know, that means a lot. That's so much of love, is to just show up. And there were a number of very active LDS people who came to that ordination service. Some BYU professors, some people from my college days, people who've seen me through kind of this whole journey. Yeah, so I'm very grateful for that.
Reverend Holly has no regrets about her decision to leave the LDS Church and seek ordination in the Episcopal Church. When asked if she would have done anything differently knowing what she knows now, she confidently explained that everything unfolded how it needed to. However, she still has hopes for the future of the LDS Church, even if the time frame for progress is unclear.
I hope that the LDS Church will eventually ordain women and marry queer people and fully embrace the whole human family as created in the image of God, not needing to change a thing to be able to live a life of holiness and image God to other people in ministry.
She concludes by reflecting.
Yeah, I'm still very fond of this tradition that raised me and formed me and pointed me toward a loving God, even while imaging it so imperfectly. But how could they not move toward a more inclusive, expansive understanding eventually? Yeah, the truth will out.
Cries for ordination brandished by groups like Ordain Women have yet to be answered affirmatively by leaders of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But regardless of the Church's current refusal to ordain women, many LDS women are speaking out, continuing to put pressure on the Church to change its ordination policies. Many women, like Reverend Holly, are choosing to forge their own paths towards their goals as well. That concludes our podcast for today. Our theme music was Bird Therapist by Craig MacArthur, used by an attribution, non-commercial, share-alike Creative Commons license. Special thanks to Reverend Holly Huff. Also, thanks to Dan Bennett and Meredith Richer of the Smith Learning Research and Technology team. And thanks to the Religion Department that supports public-facing student writing at Smith College. Tune in next time on Women's Rights.